praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name.
Well, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. Gosh, I do that every week. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Sunday noon service here in Arizona with the Fishman Ministries. Glad you guys could join us. We're going to get right back to the music.
Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace, how can it be like? Make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. God, this grace, how can it be? La 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 la. Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves.
of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace, how can it be? La 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 la.
Part again. In the secret and the quiet place.
secret in a quiet place. In the stillness, you are there. In the secret in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to trust you. I want to seek your the highest goal that I might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. Okay, Sue, you're up.
Good morning, everybody. Something stood out to me in one of the services today. The word delight stood out to me today. And I looked it up, and it has several different meanings. But Paul had asked the question, how do you delight yourself in him? Well, I've been thinking about that a lot. Since he said it, I've been thinking about it. I looked online to see if I could find any scriptures that could help me with that. And the thing that kept coming back to me was Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And another scripture that came to me was Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things delight I delight, saith the Lord. So, for me, what I saw was that we have to believe that he is God and that he has our best interests at heart. We don't see them. Much the same way my daughter, who's 7, doesn't see when I tell her no to a thing, when my response is no, She doesn't know why, she just thinks I'm being mean. But there are reasons for saying no. There are reasons for saying not now. And sometimes there are even reasons for saying yes that could be good or bad, depending on the situation. But to please God, we have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and that He is a loving God, a Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. That judgment and the righteousness go together. Because oftentimes we exercise judgment in self-righteousness, not in His righteousness. But He exercises judgment and righteousness. And those are things that delight Him. I want to delight the Lord. Ricky just sang the song, Stir Up a Hunger. The line in that song that really gets me is, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. And it doesn't take long. But when you turn your eyes on Jesus, His love, the agape love that He has for you, can turn that heart back. If you don't know what delights the Lord, you need to find out. And you need to do those things that are delighting to Him. It's all fine and well to say, oh, I know the Ten Commandments, or I know what the Lord would have me do. But then if you don't do it, you're going to be held accountable for that. When we expect something of our children, I tell Naomi regularly, Naomi, do this. She'll say, I can't, or I don't know how. My response is, I wouldn't ask you to do something that you're not able to do. You may think, the other day we moved some furniture around as a surprise for Rick when he got home from being out of town. And Naomi didn't think she could help me. Truthfully, I didn't know if she could because it was a very heavy quilting frame that I was having her help me with. I didn't know if she could help me with it. But I said to her, if I tell you you can do it, if I ask for your help and I'm not asking, expecting you to fail, you can do it. You have to determine to do it and push through it. And she did. She actually helped me get that table up and I was thrilled. And I think even she took some joy in the fact that she accomplished something she didn't believe she could. The Lord's the same. He doesn't expect anything of us that we cannot do. We may not know that we can do it because we haven't done it before, but that doesn't mean you can't. It just means you haven't done it before. Believe Him. Believe what His word says. Trust Him. Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust Him. And remember that He is righteous. He is the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
See if I can find this verse here. There's a inherent flaw in the gospel that is preached in many of the churches today. And it kind of jumped off the page with me today as I was actually singing this song. And while I think I understand the premise and the purpose of the song, there's a flaw in it. And I'm going to have to figure out a way to work the lyrics so that it's no longer a flaw. It was the first one, Lord, I lift your name on high. The line that kind of jumped off the page to me as having this inherent flaw was, I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm getting a nod from Sue. What's wrong with that statement? The statement really identifies the flaw that exists so often in church today, or in the churches today. It's not my life. Oh, see, she just rewrote the lyrics for me. I'm so glad you are my life. See, if we put Jesus in, or if I take Jesus and put him in my life, then who's still in charge? Me. That's the inherent flaw that exists. There's a scripture that came to me this morning as I was thinking about services today. Go back over to Joshua. We're going to chapter 5. Dad mentions, I should say Brother Davey mentions often of the preacher in the El Paso area that says, God is on your side. And that's yet another example of that flawed concept that we are somehow our, you know, our own person and we're somehow superior to God. Whether or not that connection is made with people that believe that, it's probably not. I know I believed a lot of things in the churches that I used to attend, and I never put two and two together until the light was shown. And it was demonstrated to me how false those were. And, you know, my dad, Brother Davey, was really the only person that ever really gave me the pure truth. And it was hard to receive a lot of times. But here we see Joshua, chapter 5. In verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Interesting question, no? I mean, it's a logical question. I mean, I would hope, if I was Joshua, I would say, man, I hope he's on our side. Do you see the reference here? I sure hope you're on our side. And that's where people are at today. They're at, boy, I hope God's on my side. And it's propagated so thoroughly throughout the modern church that God has a plan for you. You're special, etc., etc., etc. And it's spoon-fed to people that come into the doors and they get their flesh elevated and yet their spirit continues to die. Jesus, and that's who he was meeting this day, says to him this, and he said, that is Jesus, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? You see, it's not God on our side. It's whether or not we're going to humble ourselves and get on his side. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua got it in short order, did he not? Did he not get it in short order? And the captain of the Lord host said unto him, Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. That's the switch that has to get thrown in Christians today, or in people today that call themselves Christians. That's the switch that has to get thrown, you see, because it's not God catering to you. It's you humbling yourself and serving the Lord. That switch has to get thrown. So I was thinking this morning, or jump forward to Timothy. It's here somewhere. I'm sure of it. Thank you, honey. I'm going to have to mic her just so that her little peanut gallery comment everybody can partake of. Well, goodness. It's here somewhere. Here it is. I got it. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many times have we read this passage over and over and over and over and over and over? This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, full stop. Actually, colon. That is the state of the so-called modern church today. They have transposed the position of service, i.e. their service to God, and has transposed that and made themselves God, and God their servant. That is what we must not do. What is it to be a lover of oneself? Well, we have a laundry list here. A lover of oneself is going to be covetous. It's going to be a boaster. It's going to be proud. It's going to be a blasphemer, disobedient to parents. How many times do you argue with your spiritual parents? You fight and disobey. You know, you talked about pleasing God, Sue, or that which was pleasing to God. You know, Saul, and there was a contrast earlier, I think, today in some of the service where people were talking about Saul. So you see Saul, as he keeps the best of the spoils to sacrifice to the Lord, Samuel says, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you want to be pleasing to the Lord, obey the Lord. If the most pleasing thing my wife can do to me is do that simple things that I've asked her to do. She may do 500 other things that I didn't ask her to do, but if she didn't do the one I asked her to do, I'm not going to be pleased. The same thing with my little girl. If you're a parent, you understand how this works. This is not a mystery. It's not a mystery. And it's no mystery with God. If you want to please God, if you want to be pleasing to God, then do what he asks of you. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's only difficult and hard when you're trying to add him to your life. That's when it gets really tricky. Because that won't work. It never works. You will find yourself to be most miserable all the time. And you will find yourself looking for ways to justify yourself. You'll be entertaining the thoughts of, I don't deserve to be treated this way, and why doesn't it work out for me, and why is it so hard, etc., etc., etc. And all of that is only true because you've got the position of the Lord in your life in the wrong slot. If he is first in your life, there is no battle. There's no battle. There's no argument. In our marriage between Sue and I, if she submits and obeys me, there is no argument. There is only an argument when she doesn't submit and obey. There is no argument with my little one when she submits and obeys. It's when she doesn't submit and obey that there is an argument. Correct? The Lord gives us men, the Lord gives you wives, so that you can better understand the type of relationship. And he gives you children, ladies, to give you a better understanding of the type of relationship. And when things work, you're pleased. When they don't work, you're not pleased. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. If Jesus is in the preeminent space in your heart, if he's not, you're kidding yourself. You're fooling yourself. When Joshua heard the commandment of the Lord, what did he do? He fell down on his face. He certainly didn't argue with him. He did not argue. And you see what happened as they went into the promised land. When they were in obedience to God, did not God fight for them? Didn't he deliver Jericho into their hands and then the very next town, which was a fraction of the type of difficulty that Jericho was, they lost. Why? Because God wasn't fighting with them then, because they were in disobedience. When they repented and came back into obedience, what happened? The Lord was with them. These are very simple things that we should know by now. We should understand these by now. Many, many weeks ago, Brother Davy said, do you want to do the works of God? Then go do those things he said he would do. Amen. That's what we are to do. But it becomes impossible to do that if we are trying to control and be in charge of our own life. Sue hit on something earlier, and it was about Naomi's unbelief that we have what's best for her in mind when we say no to a thing, or we give her instructions in a thing, or we ask her to do a certain type of homework, or whatever it is. We don't want ill towards our daughter. We want nothing but good for our daughter. We want her to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord and be a mighty minister for him. I don't think there would be anything that would be more pleasing to us than to see that. And if we, being evil, can want and deliver good things to our children, how much more Jesus? How much more? Why is it then that we refuse to surrender the reins of our will and our hearts? Why is it? Because we don't believe. It seems there's a theme. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. That is the key. Believe God. If you can wrap yourself around that key, then you will unlock all the good things that God has for you. And you will be fully fit to walk and minister in the kingdom of God. Believe God. If you find yourself in a place where you're convicted and you say, you know what? I have been yet trying to be in charge of my own life and I didn't even know it. Shake it off. Shake it off. That's what grace is for. That's expressly what the sacrifice on the cross was there for. Oh man, I have screwed up. Well, Father, forgive me. He says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's the good, caring, loving God that we serve. Knowing that we are unable to achieve perfection in the flesh, he's made a way for us to be perfect in the Spirit by being in him. I go back to that song, I'm not so glad that he's in my life. I'm glad I am in him. Because that's where there's freedom. That's where I want to be. And that's where we will be free. And that's it for me today.
In the sight of the Lord, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up unto the heavens, and he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up unto the heavens, and he shall lift. The sight of the Lord. Come let us worship. conquer. Come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God.
May the Lord bless you all this week. I hope you all are fully equipped after today's services to go and do all that the Lord has for you to accomplish in Him, in Jesus' name. Amen.